Take your Bibles this morning and go to Romans chapter number 1, if you would. Romans chapter number 1. I want to share a few thoughts with you this morning that hopefully will be helpful for you in the new year as we see things that are happening. Our culture is changing, isn't it? Changing rapidly. It's really in many ways our culture is seeming to take precedence over the scriptures, and even in the local church, even in amongst mainline denominations, even amongst individual churches or congregations, many of them are, unfortunately, they are leaning towards what culture says is right or wrong, or what culture says is acceptable with the Lord, rather than what does the Bible say? What does the Scripture say? And so, so many ways we have kind of lost our way in regards to following the Lord and walking according to Scripture. And we have turned to what, I don't know, in some ways seems like it might be common sense, but in a lot of other ways it is not common sense. It seems like that, even common sense is out the window today with some things that we see happening in our culture and going on, and it's troubling. And so as we go into 2020, I want us to go in with something that you need to put in deep into your heart and into your mind, and that is that culture is not to be the dominating authority in your life as a believer. Culture is not the authority of your life. What everybody is saying or doing around you is not the ultimate authority in your life. But the Word of God, the Scriptures, are the final authority. They are the rule, if you would, for your faith and your practice. What you believe and how you act and how you behave, all of that should be based upon not what television says and not what a culture says, but what Scripture says. I remember one of the things they taught us over and over in Bible college is that Scripture trumps your experience. I'm not denying that your experience may be real, that you really experienced this or that, but ultimately, the ultimate and final authority over that experience, it has to be interpreted and governed under the authority of Scripture. Does that fall in line with Scripture or no? And so, ultimately, our authority as we go into 2020, as believers, as we go into that this new year, this new decade even, as we enter into it, we need to ask ourselves, what is going to be the final authority in my life? What is it that I'm going to base my decisions on, base my judgment on, base what I do, base my actions on? Is it going to be experience around me or culture, or is it going to be on the Word of God, Scripture? What does the Bible say? So I want to help you with that, and I want us to think about that a little bit today. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. We'll go down to verse number 18. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." We don't hear a lot about that today, but the unrighteousness and the sinfulness of human hearts and human behavior is making the Lord angry. It causes him to experience wrath. His wrath is on our unrighteousness, our ungodliness. Now it says, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Now I want you to think about this. One of the problems that we're experiencing in our culture today, and I don't want to get off onto rabbit trails about particular things or issues, but we all see it. We see it happening all around us, certain issues or things that are happening, and it's like what are people thinking and what's going on? And I want you to see here, this passage of Scripture tells us that God has revealed Himself to us, even to the lost, even to the unbeliever, through creation, through the world around us. We just ask ourselves, you know, where did we come from and how did we get here and what are we doing and why are we here? You can ask those basic questions. Those are normal questions for us to have. And the Bible says that God has clearly revealed Himself to us through the world around us, through His creation. And so it says here, though, that men suppress the truth of God. What's that mean? What does it mean to suppress the truth of God? Here's what I take it to mean. When you suppress something, you're pressing it down. You're trying to put it out of your mind, away from you. You're trying not to think about it. Remember, you hear people talk about suppressed memories or suppressed things that have happened to them when they were younger, when they were children. They suppress those. They try to put them out of their mind and they try not to think about them. Now, that's what the Bible says men do. Men try to suppress the truth of God from their minds so that they can do what they want to, so that they can do what they want to and not experience the conviction or the guilt or of their sin, of their wrong. And so he says, listen, men are suppressing the truth of God. Think about it. Even mainline denominations today did not stand on the authority of Scripture. They don't stand on the authority of Scripture. They are going by what culture is dictating to them of what is right and what is wrong. Now look at what that has done to our culture and to our society. It has created chaos. It has created all kinds of confusion. All kinds of it, in every aspect, every area that you can think of, it's creating confusion. Now, why do people suppress the truth of God? Because if God truly, His truth is true, then we have an accountability to Him. We are accountable to Him because of His truth. What He says is true. What He says is right. And therefore, we must obey it. We need to align our lives with what God has said. Right? Now, because if we can suppress that, and we can say, well, I know what the Bible says that, but here's this. Or I know the Bible says that, but this is what culture says. Or I know the Bible says that, but this is what psychologists say. Or I know the Bible says that, but this is what doctors say. All of these types of things, we're suppressing the truth of God. And the truth of God should trump our experience and any of these other things that come into place. Now, he says, God is manifest in them, in the things around us, for God has shown it to them. Now, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, the attributes of God, the invisible attributes of God, look at this, they are clearly seen in creation. The invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are, look at this, without excuse. No one, when they stand before God someday, is going to have an excuse for what they did with him or his truth. He has revealed himself to all of us through his creation, through his word, his attributes. Even though they're invisible to our eyes, we can see them. We can see through creation the power of God. You just go to the ocean sometime and you watch the power of those waves come against those rocks. You go to the mountains sometime and just look at the majesty of that. You just go around and you just look at the animals sometimes. And remember a while back I showed you, what is it, the four-eyed fish? Can you imagine? The four-eyed fish, he has two eyes that go above water and two below. Who comes up with that? God. Right? And you look at animals and all the things that they do. They all have a purpose. Even snakes and spiders and all that. They have a purpose. I don't know what it is, but they have a purpose. And I don't want them doing their purpose around my house. Go do your purpose somewhere else. But God has created these things and they all have function. God is an awesome God and we can see how awesome he is. And the Bible says that even through creation, and here's how I put it, God has implanted inside of every single person what I call a knower. I think that every single one of us has been implanted with a knower that we know there's a God and we know there's an authority. We know that we didn't just appear here by accident. We know these things. And so one day he says, listen, his truth has been revealed through creation. It's been revealed through his word. All of us one day are going to stand without excuse before Almighty God. Now he goes on in verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. They did not recognize his authority. They did not realize and say, okay, this is of God. This is God's doing. They did not do that. It says they did not glorify him as God, nor, look at this, were thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts. It's empty, futile, crazy thinking, weird ideas. They became futile in their thoughts, and look at this, and their foolish. Their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. That's the culture we live in. Common sense is out the window. Men are living based on their foolish hearts, and their foolish hearts have been darkened by Satan. They have been blinded. And look at verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now, if you and I, we stand up for what the Word of God says about some of the cultural issues that are going on around us, we will be mocked, we will be made fun of, we will be ridiculed and laughed out of the room. But according to the Scripture right here, it says they became fools. Who's really foolish? The one who suppresses and ignores the Word of God and rejects the authority of it. Look at verse 22 or 23. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, animals and creeping things. And therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. God's going to let you do what you want to do. If you're an unbeliever, He'll give you up to that if that's what you want. He gave them up to uncleanness. And it says, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. We cannot deny that in our culture, all around us, people are degrading their bodies. They are disrespecting God and His creation. And if you say that or I say that, we are mocked. We're considered foolish. I'm telling you, I'm going to stand on the Bible and what it says, and it sure makes a whole lot more sense than what I see happening. Well, we have become, if you would, disoriented to the Bible. Churches and denominations have left the authority of Scripture and they are turning to worldly solutions and programs and methods and so forth to solve problems that would be solved by Scripture. If people would just align themselves and be obedient to Scripture, many of the problems would be taken care of. But because we refuse to submit ourselves under the authority of God's Word, we're enduring and we're going to receive the consequences of disobedient, sinful behavior. Well, there are many times, we're left confused about what the Lord is doing. Sometimes the Lord is working in your life and you don't understand what He's doing. I don't understand what He's doing and how He's working. I want you to remember, we talked a lot about it when we did the genealogies of the Lord. But God called Abraham without giving him all the details. God may be calling you as you go into 2020, and He may not be giving you all of the details, but there's something that the Lord is doing, and He is knocking on your heart, and He is speaking to you through His Word and His Holy Spirit. And I don't know what He has for you in 2020, and He certainly does not give us all the details. If the Lord would have told me on January 1st of 2019 all of the things that would have happened in 2019, I wouldn't have liked it. And I wouldn't have believed it. So the Lord does not give us all the details. And He told Abraham, He said, leave and go. That's it. Two things. Pack up and go. Where are you going? I don't know. You go. You go over here to ABC Moving and rent a U-Haul and fill all your stuff in it and sit out there on Morton Avenue and have no clue where you're going. That's what God asked Abram to do. And Abram did it. He believed God. Well, does God work that way? Does God call us to do things that sometimes we don't understand, we don't have all the details? Yes. Sometimes God puts things on our heart and He calls us and we have no clue what the next step is, but God says, listen, this is what I want you to do. Maybe your first step is salvation. Maybe that's the first step you need to take is God is dealing with you. You're not saved. You need salvation. You don't understand. That's your first step. Maybe your step is baptism, to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe it's to get involved and serve. Maybe it's to share your faith with others. Maybe it's to somehow to minister. I don't know all the details of 2020, what it will look like for you or for me. But I know the authority needs to be the authority of Scripture, the Word of God. Does God ask us to do things sometimes when we don't know all the details? You bet. Is it possible or even likely that God may call you or me without all of the details? You bet it is. I go to Matthew chapter 4, and we can see several examples here if you want to. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18, there are several examples of God saying, here you go, come on. He didn't give them all the details. God does not give us step-by-step instructions of everything that's going to happen, and he does it for 2020, for you and for me. But look at this, when he called his disciples, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, do you really think that Peter and Andrew knew what fishers of men would be? He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Look at the next verse, verse 20. They talked about it for a while. They had some meetings. They formed a committee. It doesn't say that. It says they immediately left their nets and followed him. Go a little further. Well, the next verse, verse 21. Going from there, he saw two other brothers, James and the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. They were in business with their father. They were fishermen. They owned this company together. They fished together. And look at this. Jesus comes along. He sees these two brothers and their father there mending their nets. And look what it says. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They left it all to follow Jesus. Now in verse number 9, chapter 9, verse 9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. There's a place you want to find a fella, right? He's in the IRS office, sitting at his desk. And Jesus comes along and he finds him. And he says to this tax collector, Matthew, it says, he said to him, follow me. So he arose and he followed him. You know, one of the neatest things I think about that is a little bit later, chapter 10, Matthew has a huge party at his house. And he invites all the IRS folks that worked with him. And they all come together. Why did he do that? He wanted them to meet Jesus. Matthew's life was changed, and he wanted to share that with his co-workers. God did not give them every detail and step of the way. Just think about the apostles that God called. Think about the way they died. They laid down their lives for their faith. They were martyrs. Do you think the Lord told them that right from the beginning? No. He said, follow me. Acts chapter 9, that whole chapter, God calls Saul of Tarsus, who later he changes his name to Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, because he was marvelously, miraculously born again, saved. He was on a mission stamping out Christianity. He was a Jew of Jews. He hated Christianity. He hated Christ and what Christ had done, because Christ had undermined their Judaism and their religion and all of their works and on and on. Paul was going busy. He was persecuting. He was stamping them out. He was actually carrying papers with him on the road to Damascus to go and to gather up Christians and, guess what, have them put in jail or killed. He was on a mission to destroy the church. And guess what? God came along on the road, and he appears to him and he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you kick against the pricks?" Why do you, that is like an animal when you have one of them little pokers, a sharp poker, and you're poking them in the heels to move them along. Saul was kicking against that. God says, "Why are you doing that? Why are you fighting the conviction that I'm giving you? Why are you fighting against me, Saul?" Saul is miraculously saved, and he is discipled by Ananias. God didn't tell Paul all that he was going to go through. He just said, "Saul, follow me." How do we know if we're following him? We know we're following him when we follow Scripture. When we're being obedient to what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Why? That the man of God, the believer, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How are you going to be prepared for the work that God has for you in 2020 and further? How are you going to be prepared for that if you don't know the Word of God? If you don't make the Word of God the authority in your life, and you know it and you trust it? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. It says this, "And so we have the prophetic word continued, which you do well to heed as a light." The Word of God now, as a light, shines in a dark place. Would we agree that the world is kind of a dark place? Yeah. Would we agree that the world is a dark place? Yes. Amen. Yes, we would. All right. Thank you, Pastor. All right. We would agree, and it shines in a dark place. Look at this. "Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Now, verse 20. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." That is, men did not make it up. They did not come up with their own ideas. "It is of no private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Our Scriptures did not come to us because some guys sat down and decided to make up some stories. God spoke to them. He moved in their hearts. He opened their hearts, and He caused them to pick up the pen, and He caused them to write the things that were written. It is amazing that the Bible spans over about 1,500 years, is it? It's spread out that it was recorded. Over 40 people were involved in writing Scripture, all of these things, and they all flow together, and there's no contradictions. The ones that claim there's contradictions and so forth need to study some of those things out, and you'll see how they're not contradictory. And so we have the authority of Scripture. Then Hebrews 4:12, what a powerful verse it is. It says, for the Word of God, your Bible is different than any other book you have. I don't know how big your library might be. I have lots of books in my office. I have more books probably now online than I do on the shelves. It's easier. I don't have to move them so much. But none of those books compare to the Bible. The Bible is a different book. Because Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the Word of God is living and powerful. Bless you. Is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a, look at this, discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's how God's Word is. You know how I know partly that this is true? Because I can preach a message and I will have people walk out and they'll text me or they'll say to me, man, Pastor, that you really spoke to me, that got me, here's what's going on. And I'm thinking, I didn't talk about that at all. But God, the Holy Spirit, took His Word and He takes it and He applies it to your heart where you need it. Right? And it's a living, powerful book. And it can separate your thoughts. It knows your motives. It can separate our motives. It can separate our wishes from, it comes out and it convicts us. Psalm 119 in verses 9 through 11, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, he says, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know how to prevent sin in your life? Stay in the book. Stay in the book. Keep your face in the book. Psalm 119 and verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know what's amazing is Brother Keaton, when he was here a few months ago, I'm reading his book on Islam. One of the things that he learned in some of that research is that Muslims take the Quran very, very seriously. I think probably more seriously than some Christians do the Bible. And that's sad to say, but it's probably true. But they dedicate themselves, dedicated Muslims will read through the Quran in 30 days. Brother Keaton said, I was so convicted about that. He said, I sat out and for several months he read the entire Bible through each month. That's tremendous. I wish that we would have the dedication to spend that kind of time in God's Word. What's going to keep you in the right path in 2020? What's going to help you in the storms of life in 2020 is Scripture. It is God's Word. And in order for it to help you, you have to read it. You have to study it. You have to know it. Or else it's really not much help. But God's Word, He's given it to us and He desires for it. Scripture always must overrule our experience and what we think or what we say. I'm going to ask the musicians to come if they would. I want to share one story with you. As they come, several years ago, actually it was 2005, our church had given Tammy and I the opportunity to go on a missions trip over to Hungary, and we went with the Couriers for Christ, and I'll tell you, it was an amazing experience. It was just wonderful. While we were there, though, we were in Hungary, and we had had a foreign exchange student a couple years before from Germany. And so we went and we did the missions trip. We went to Hungary, and then on our way to Germany, we went to Vienna. And Tammy and I, the tourists that we are, were walking around Hungary with a map. We had this map, and we were looking for, I don't know, some palace, some guy's palace. We weren't finding it. We run across some people, and they were selling tickets to a Mozart concert thing and where Mozart used to play. And so we ended up buying that, but we had to be back there by a certain time. But we were still out there wandering around looking for the palace. Couldn't find it, so we finally were running all over Vienna. So we sat down in a restaurant, we ate lunch, we go back out, and we start to look for the palace again. And the lovely first lady of Westfair takes the map and she does this. She said, "I had the map upside down." You know what? You've got to hold the map right side up, or you're not going to find what you're looking for. And we've got to hold the Word of God in its rightful place, or we're not going to find what we need for 2020 and the days ahead. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't know what your spiritual need might be this morning. Maybe it's just to say, you know, I need the Lord. I need the Lord as my personal Savior. Maybe it's I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe it's some other area of your life. Only you know, you and the Lord know. My friend, I encourage you, would you let the Word of God be the authority in your life? Don't fight against God's Word. When you finally surrender to His Word, it's just such a wonderful peace, such a wonderful comfort to know that you're right with God. Father, as we come before you, Lord, today I pray that if you've spoken to any hearts today, if there's some here today that needs to know you as Lord and Savior, that, Lord, today might be the day that they would say to you, "Okay, I don't understand it all, but I'm yours." Lord, I pray that for believers that might be here, that they would simply surrender and say, you know, I've been fighting the Lord long enough. I need to just be obedient and do what God says so that God can bless my life. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to do that. In your name I pray. Amen.